By the way, a great chapter in the Word of God, Isaiah 55. We're going to look at one verse. Last Sunday, you recall, I talked about knowing God. God is a God that wants you to know Him. And we talked about how to know God. You got to hear the gospel. You got to believe the gospel. You got to know that you are a sinner Christ died for. That Jesus is the only way to be saved. The gospel is the death, the burial, the resurrection of Christ. The Bible says it's the power of God unto salvation that believe. You got to believe Jesus died for you, a sinner. If you don't believe that, you can't be saved, won't be saved, and you'll be pitiful forever. Today we're going to go a step farther. You're saved by faith. We talked about briefly last time. But I'm afraid too many Christians know about God. But is God really real to them? Is God really real to you? We're going to talk about it today. In Isaiah 55, the scripture says in verse 6, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found." Seek the Lord, it says. "Call ye upon him while he is near." When you hear the gospel being preached, the Holy Spirit is there at your heart, speaking to you, telling you you need to be saved. What can you do? Admit you need to be saved and accept the one who offers to save you, Jesus Christ. Now, when someone believes in Jesus as their Savior, they're given salvation and have become a child of God right then. You won't be a child of God when you get to heaven. You're a child of God now, when you're saved, and you'll be a child of God forever. Isn't that wonderful? Because you're given eternal life. Now a person is in a position to begin to learn about God once you have been saved. In 1 John 3:1, "Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons and the daughters of God." That's the highest position anyone holds in the world. The president don't have that position unless he's a child of God. Isn't that wonderful? You are a son or a daughter of God if you've trusted Christ as your Savior. You're going to be exalted above the angels one day. What about that? Each person starts out as a babe in the Lord. It's hard to imagine us that we once were little babies, but we all were in our mother's arm. We must grow by the milk and the meat of God's Word. The milk means the simple things. We learn Jesus loves me, for example. But the meat of the Word, we begin to learn the doctrines and the teachings of the Scriptures, what the Bible really says as we grow in the Lord. That's the meat of the Word. And the more you know about the meat of the Word, the greater your understanding of God's great plan and the future He has for you and for me. And we understand more what's going on in the world today as we get hold of the meat of God's Word. What I want to deal with today is going from knowing about God to knowing God, though. I want to go a little step deeper. We should know many things about God, such as we should know God is a holy God. God is holy, folks. That's the reason we can't go into his presence in the condition we are with a body like we have. We would be consumed. He's holy. Holy means he has no sin. He's pure. His holiness is terrible to us. He's so holy. The Bible says he's a consuming fire. He's so pure. We need to see our God is like that. The God you live your life before every day. He's that kind of God that's looking at you and watching you. God is good. God is a good God. God wants the best for you in this life. God wants more and better for you in this life than you want for yourself. Because what you want may not be what's best for you. God is love. There's nobody loves you like God. God loves you so much, he let his only son die the most horrible death there's ever been to show he loves you. God is a just God. One day justice is going to be done because of all the sin that's in the world. God is a sovereign God. God is in control of every hair on your head. It won't fall unless he allows it. He's that sovereign. Nothing can happen to you without God's allows it. He's sovereign, folks. God is control all the time. God is a free God. God is free to do what he wants to, when he wants to, how he wants to, and where he wants to. And nobody can't do anything about it because he's God. This is his world, and he made you. He made you for himself. God is omnipotent. There's no power greater than God. God's power is unlimited. You get in your car and you mash it to the floor, it won't go but so fast. But God is limitless. God is omniscient. God knows what you're thinking right now. God knows why you came to church. God knows why you don't come. God is omnipresent. Jonah said he was going to go down out of the presence of the Lord. Jonah was deceived. You can't get out of the presence of the Lord. Amen. God's on Jupiter if you were there. God is anywhere you go. When you get there, he's waiting on you. He's God. He might even say, where have you been? God is God, folks. And I'm talking about knowing this God, not just knowing about him. First of all, you must want to know God. Would you really? Now, you better be careful now. But do you really want to know God? You won't know God, really know God, just being casual. No amens? The Bible says you got to seek God. I'm going to be talking to y'all today about something y'all ain't never heard. Maybe. But it's true. You must want to know God. You must want to know him intimately. A Christian may see God answer their prayers. A baby Christian may get a prayer answered. You know why God answers baby Christians' prayers? There's a reason. Because he's trying to encourage you to pray. Amen? A Christian may see God answer their prayers, but they still lack an intimate knowledge of God. To really know God, one must get to the place where nothing else matters in life except I want to know God for myself. And if you don't get to that place, you won't know Him, even though you're still saved. You have to seek God. Just keep listening. God is knowable now. But to know Him in a personal way is going to require prayer, 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 and more prayer. And more than that. It's going to require a determination to know Him. It will require a holy life from you. I'm talking about in your thoughts too. Not just the life people's looking at and watching you, but you got to be holy inside. You got to watch lust. You got to watch pride, selfishness, greed. You're not going to know God, really know God, if these things are there. God don't want you to have a religious life either. God hates religion, folks. He wants a holy life from us. The prophet Isaiah said, first we must hear the gospel. Well, the prophet Isaiah, as I said a while ago, said that you must seek God and ye shall find me. But then, first we must hear the gospel. We must know we're a sinner. We must believe Jesus died to save us. And when we are saved, the Holy Spirit comes to indwell us, to start working on us. That's why being in church every service, I said every service, is important. In every service, God has something for every one of us to hear. Because when we hear God's word, that's bread for our soul. You're not going to really know God if you're not staying fed on God's word. There's no shortcuts, folks, to knowing God. I'm just telling you, there's no shortcuts. Amen. When we were saved, the Holy Spirit took up residence, and our bodies became the temple of the holy God of heaven. God lives in us if we're a Christian. And that's the reason you better make sure your body doesn't sin. Because if you let your body sin, God's going to deal with you and it's going to be painful. 1 Corinthians 6:19, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own. You no longer belong to yourself. You belong to God now, and you will answer to God for how you live. And I live. And I've lived these years enough to know, amen, it's true. You don't get by with anything. Having an intimate knowledge of God is reserved for those who determine to know Him. There must be a hunger, a thirsting, a longing, a desperate need to know Him before one will ever enjoy the outpouring of God's Spirit upon them and within them. And they will, at that point, when they reach that, they'll be worshiping and praising to God and crying. And words will be unspeakable when you reach that plateau. When you finally break through and reach knowing God, you won't be a casual, indifferent believer. A take it or leave it.
I go to church when I feel like it.
Without getting into my own experiences with the Lord, the manifesting presence of the Lord, however, is endless to express the many things and ways God manifests himself to you when you get to really know God. I'll keep them to myself mainly. But I'm preaching this to encourage you, to challenge you. There's more than just knowing about God. Before anyone realizes the reality of God, of the Spirit's presence, they must have confessed all their sin and turned to the Lord in all their being, holding nothing back for themselves. In other words, you got to give yourself away. You must reach that point, Lord, I don't care what you do with me, I'm yours. I'm letting that sink in. Because if you've got plans for yourself, you're not going to really. Can I just say while I'm standing here, you can't see it, but I'm engulfed with the Spirit as I stand here. You got to give yourself away. Words won't express it. If you've got plans for your life, you're not going to really get to know him, because he's got a life for you that's better. You must see yourself as dung before him, that you're nothing. Because when you really get into his presence, you'll realize it. We are nothing, folks. We're just so sinful. You remember the song in our hymn book, I Surrender All? I suspect that hymn writer must have knew what I'm talking about with y'all today. I Surrender All. Your need for God must be such that you have got to get hold of him. Circumstances in your life can bring you to that point at times, if you'll take advantage of it. One must determine they're going to prove there's a God, even though you believe there is, but you want an intimate relationship with him in a personal way. God's a personal God, folks. He's a knowable God. Do you want to know God to be personal to you? There can be an outpouring of the Spirit that can be an infilling, and the experiences one may encounter are countless once You give yourself to Him completely. And again, especially if you hit rock bottom in life and you don't know what to do, which way to turn, you just turn completely to the Lord. You hear testimonies of people who reach rock bottom and suddenly they finally turn to the Lord and how their life is changed. They get to know God. God cleans up the drunk sometime, the doper sometime, the harlots sometimes. He transformed their lives because they see what's happened and their only hope was God. Today, what we have in Christianity are many believers who are just saved and they have not encountered the fullness of the Spirit and the reality of God in their lives. They have not fully given themselves over to the Lord. And many Christians are not enjoying the Lord in their daily life either. Are you enjoying yourself as a Christian in the Lord? Amen. There's one thing about enjoying yourself, but in the Lord. That's the difference. Let me ask you a question. Are you really excited over being saved? Are you excited that you're saved? Really? Amen. Do you want God to use you? Remember the Apostle Paul before he was saved? Then Saul, who also is called Paul, was filled with the Holy Ghost. In Acts 13:52, and the disciples were filled with joy and the Holy Ghost. What happened when they were filled with the Holy Ghost? Full of joy, and God used their lives. They quit doing what they were doing to do what God wanted them to do. What did the disciples do when Jesus said, "Follow me"? They quit fishing, didn't they? When Saul of Tarsus was saved, he was powerless until he was filled with the Holy Spirit. What change when he was filled with the Spirit? What a change when he was filled with the Spirit. He became the great Apostle Paul that wrote 13 books of the Bible. Ephesians 3:19, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. God wants us to be full of Him. We're vessels. We're to be full of God because we're seeking, as that old hymn, a closer walk with Thee. It's a pursuit, folks, as a Christian. Paul said he kept pressing on. He just wanted to get closer and closer and closer to the Lord. That's what journey we're on. That is, we're supposed to be on. Getting to know God. And to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Ephesians 3:19. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit is a command. To be filled with the Spirit is not for our pleasure or use to brag about. That's the reason I'm cautious about sharing some things I know about the Lord and myself. We're not to know God so we can brag or boast, because it's not for that purpose. Back here a few years ago, when the tongue movement was such, everybody was trying to be in the tongue movement, so they thought that was a mark of being spiritual. A tongue-speaking person is the lowest in the gifts, but they thought they had the best. Our gifts are not for us to boast about. We're not all gifted alike, but we all can know God if we pursue. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart, the Bible says. The meek also shall increase their joy in the Lord, and the poor among men shall rejoice in the Holy One of Israel. As believers, we should be going about throughout our day and our life rejoicing in the Lord. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. We experience that when we draw nigh to God. Do you think most Christians today are rejoicing in the Lord? Really? I'm talking about in Christendom. Is Christians really excited about being saved? If they already got me, fool. Hopefully all believers have seen the Lord answer some prayers or prayers they have prayed. But I'm not talking about this kind of knowing God just because you got a prayer answered. Although this is important and all of us should have answered prayers in our life, I'm talking about a more reality of God. Are you aware God's presence is with you? Are you aware of that? God can and does get very real to those who really want to know Him. Do you really want to know Him? Do you think about Him? Are you seeking to learn about Him? Do you want Him to control your life? Hard questions, aren't they? You can, but it will take some effort on, and your reason for knowing Him intimately must not be a selfish one, as I already stated. The psalmist said in 72:6, He shall come down like rain upon the mowed grass, as showers that water the earth. From the book of Ezekiel 36, beginning at verse 24, For I will take you from among the heathen, God said, and gather you out of all countries, and will bring you into your own land. Then listen what God said, I'll do for His people. Then I will sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean from all your filthiness, and from all your idols will I cleanse you. And you heart also I give you, a new spirit I will put within you, and I will take away the stony heart of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them. God has revealed Himself to people by fire, smoke, wind, oil, water, doves, and other ways. So I'm asking you, is God real to you? Do you ever feel or sense His Spirit upon you in some manner? God promised the Jews what He would do for them one day. Verse 25 may be explained away by many commentators, but it means what it says. God can sprinkle clean water upon you who really seek Him, and it won't even wet you. I know. Do not forget, God can do what He wants to do, and no one can do anything about it. God can anoint one. God's Spirit can move on you all day long and for years as a comfort because of a loss or some pain you've experienced in life, if you seek him. I'm not going around to discuss all my personal encounters with the Lord. It's not my purpose. It's my purpose to encourage you to seek to know God more fully, because he's a personal God who wants to reveal himself to us. You know what would happen if that would be the case? You'd hear more Christians talking about the Lord. Am I right? Folks, I'm around Christians all the time. They don't talk about the Lord. Why? I'll let them answer why. I've been enjoying this ever since 1970. God is a real God. I mean, let me just share this one thing. God literally anointed me in my father's house to preach, literally. I heard the Spirit of God come in the room. I felt him when he pitched on me like a dove. I heard the holy vessel empty, gluck, 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 gluck. And the ointment went down my head, down my body, down to my feet. God is real, folks. Amen. I'm preaching to you today to encourage you, not to make you think I'm a holier than thou. That's not my purpose. My purpose is people need to know the reality of God. And we would be more excited. We would be more faithful. He hasn't changed. He's still the same God. The Bible says, draw nigh to God, and he'll draw nigh to you. That's true. He will. But he's going to see if you mean business. Do I mean business? He says, draw nigh to God, and he'll draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Purify your hearts, ye double-minded. James 4:8. That's in the New Testament, folks. What I'm saying is we can know God in a more real and personal way. We would turn our lives over completely to the Lord to use as he sees fit. You don't have to be scared of him. He's not going to ask you to do something you can't do. Oh, I told him I couldn't do this. I'm not very good at it, but I've been doing it since 1970. And every time I have to preach, I have nothing to say till I get up here. And then I don't have enough time. Our life is his life, church. Our life is his life. He gave us this life. He made us. The cares of this life are robbing many of us of God's blessings because we're so involved with this life. We're running here. We're running there. I got to go here. I got to do that. Well, I know there's certain things in life we have to do. But our priorities, God's got to be first. He's God. We're everyone going to stand before him and you can't get out of it. You can't have a sick day or a personal day or a vacation day. You're going to be there. And everything you've ever done is coming up if you're not saved. And if you are saved, he's going to see, what did you do for me? What did you do for me? I died for you. What did you do for me? Jesus said, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it's expedient for you that I go away. And if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you, John 16:7. But you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his, Romans 8:9. What I'm saying is, the Holy Spirit's in you, if you're Christians. So you're already in a position to start drawing nigh to God. You got somebody to help you. Amen? What I'm saying, there's too many Christian people not enjoying the Lord because the Lord is not really real to them. This is seen in their prayer life, their faithfulness, their support of God's work, and their witness to other people. We ask people to come to church. They won't come. Brother Chavis, you've done it again, brother. You've done it again, brother. I won't ask you how many times has that been from the same one. But I know God's got a record. Amen? God's got a record. We invite them. I had someone coming the other day. I thought they were going to beat me out here. I hadn't seen them yet. They were invited. So let me ask you, how many Christians do you know who are not doing anything for the Lord? They say they're Christians, but they seldom go to church, if ever. They never support the Lord's work. You never hear them mention the Lord unless they're asked, and then they're more spiritual than you are. Don't let pride deceive you. I'm closing. Don't you ever get to the place in your life that you think you are a spiritual person. And God must be pleased with you. Don't you ever get to that place. That's what happens to the religious crowd. Pride will cheat you. We better always see how we fail the Lord. Live where you realize you need to grow in the Lord, that the sin of pride may not deceive you. See yourself as nothing, because in God's sight we are nothing. See yourself as the least, yet willing to do what God calls you to do. We got preachers that won't work. They say they're going to have a church that'll pay them. Okay, that's okay. You know what? I can get up here and preach what I want to because I don't get paid. Amen? I'm not above anything. I've cleaned up the bathrooms before. I've vacuumed the floor. I've done it all. I put every piece of plywood on the top of that building. I've done it all. And it's been my blessing. It's been my blessing to have a place to come and tell about the Lord and to invite people to come. What hurts is that people won't come. Too many Christians are missing out on enjoying the reality of the Lord's presence in their lives. Desire to know the Lord because of who He is. So set out to draw nigh to God. Give up all your plans for His will in your life, and it will be the greatest blessing, and you will regret you wasted so much of your life not living for the Lord like you should have. Gonna be a lot of regrets. I even myself got a lot of regrets. I got a lot of regrets, yes. And I've tried to live for the Lord, but I got regrets. One last thought. This book really is God's word. I don't care what you think; it still is. This book is really true, folks. Believe it. Live by it. What the Apostle Paul says in his parting words before they crucified him upside down is this. To believers, growing grace, and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. 2 Peter 3:18. Peter said what I just been preaching all this morning. Grow in grace. Don't be just drifting along in your Christian life. Seek to be getting closer and closer and closer and closer to the Lord. That's what my goal was for today, to encourage you and challenge you. Don't live nonchalantly or indifferently. Put effort into your Christian life. Seek to know Him. Seek to know Him. And one day you might get the surprise of your life and an encounter with the living God. Because He wants to encounter you in a real way. Living God, thank You for the Word of God. Thank You that You want us to know You, and that if we'll do our part, You promise to reveal Yourself. Challenge hearts, Lord. Help people to look at theirself and see where they're at. Are they too far away? Do they need to draw nigh? Is sin need to be confessed, repented of? What changes needs to take place in hearts and lives? Is there someone here that needs Christ? Today's the day of salvation, the Bible says. We pray they'd trust Christ today. Bless, Lord God. Thank You for the opportunity to preach again. We praise You and give thanks in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. May the Lord speak to hearts as our hymn of invitation is played today. You know, it's up to you to decide what you're going to do in response to hearing God's word. I've tried to give you God's word the best I know how. We're serving a living God.